I hope as you click into this study today that the Lord has continued to grant you opportunities to grow closer as one together with Him, as you supply the trust and faith in the Lord. This past week has sure been a blessing in our house. Hope the same as in yours. What wonderful opportunities God gives us every single day. As we continue our study of the letters that Jesus wrote to the seven congregations in Asia, please go back and listen to any you may have missed. Last week we covered Ephesus. This week Jesus writes to Smyrna. The overall setting of this revelation or unveiling of Jesus is to His saints, the believers with an obedient faith, and others who needed to change how they responded in order to walk in a worthy manner of Christ. Jesus was going to bring a judgment against the Roman Empire and their emperor or Caesar named Domitian within a short time of just a few years, for the time was soon and near. God was going to prepare His people for what was coming if they would only have ears to hear, hearts to actually listen to Him with motives to conform to the Lord's commands. These would be blessed even in the midst of tribulation. Smyrna was a city along the coast of the Aegean Sea, located in the city of Izmir, Turkey today. If you're taking notes, it's spelled I-Z-M-I-R, Izmir. But to us it is known as Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2. Smyrna was a city where the Roman Empire was exalted. They actually won a contest against 11 cities to be chosen to build a temple to Tiberius the emperor, which also brought great wealth to the coastal city. There was also a good-sized population of Jews there, not necessarily faithful Jews, but we'll hear more about that shortly. With tribulations coming upon Smyrna, as well as other saints in Asia Minor, Jesus had a message just for them. If you would, take out your Bibles and open up to Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And it reads, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, says this." Jesus in every letter starts with a message about, remember who I am. In other words, don't forget who and what I control. Jesus says, I am the first and the last. Both of these words are words of sequence. I stand in control when it begins and when it ends. This is a control not shared with us as believers. Do you always get to control exactly when events start or end in your life? Some we do control, but often we only think we have control, an illusion of control, when in all actuality, we only appear to have control. However, Jesus starts the sequence and decides when it is time for the finale. Then Jesus turns to remind us about where He has been and what He has overcome. I was dead. How many can say that and it be true? I have myself endured death, Jesus says, and a cruel death at that, and have come to life. You almost hear the echoes of, I am the resurrection. I know death. And I know how to overcome death. He's not telling us His theory. He is telling us, proclaiming to us His experience. So the next real question is, well, are you ready to listen, Smyrna? Are you ready to listen, saints of today? Jesus controls timing, and He reigns over death and life too. Do not mistakenly think that we as saints do, but Jesus certainly does. Now look at verse 9. I know your tribulations and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Jesus starts with a sincere, I know. He knows us. He is not just on the fringes. He knows us. He knows the days that are ordained. He knows your thoughts and motives. He knows when you rise up and when you sit down. He knows when you're tired. He knows our weaknesses. Oftentimes people say, I know what you're going through. They may know a little, but Jesus knows it all. In Smyrna, in Ephesus, He knows it all. And all of the earth, even the universe. And don't you forget it or think otherwise. There are not secrets hidden from His eyes. I know your tribulations. One brother, beloved brother, explained it to me this way. The tribulations are not the inconveniences or the timing is off. Remember who controls the sequence of events beginning to end. Tribulations about pressure being exuded upon you by the Romans who think emperor worship is the only thing. False Jews who want to kill and destroy too. That's pressure, but only if you let it. Jesus says, I know your tribulations. He had been there. He had gone through it. He had been the focus of all the targets. He knew how to overcome. Jesus says, I've been with you every step of the way. And tribulations become joy. And a joy that will renew every day without failure. Then Jesus says, I know you're poverty, but you are rich. Jesus says there are two sides to the coin. Physically, you don't have very much more than your needs being filled. But spiritually, you are prosperous, wealthy, affluent, well off. I've loved the times in being with saints in countries that are poor. I mean dirt poor. Because someone forgot to tell them that the world sees money as status. They only know the true riches of Christ. They are exuberant in their spiritual wealth and feel pity for the wealthy, the physically wealthy, with only a perceived security that robs them of the faith found in desperate need, knowing only the Lord will be making the provisions for the faithful. The worldly minded pity the poor without riches. The spiritually minded pity the wealthy famous, who are bankrupt in spiritual matters, being estranged from faith in the Lord. Wealth rots and disappears. The Lord has power that never wavers. Jesus knew where their riches came from, the very heart of Jesus himself. Those poor saints at Smyrna, they were rich. And Jesus knew the sequence of how and when. The city of Smyrna in general was wealthy. The faithless Jews had standing in the community. The Romans thought of themselves as in control. The reality had been revealed. Who was deceived? Everyone but the faithful in Christ Jesus. But there were blasphemers there in Smyrna. There was a self-titled holy race, unquote, of Jesus, who had left God to be an enemy of God's people. The adversary was in motion by Satan. Think of this parallel. Go read Acts chapter 7. When Stephen gives his last teaching to the Sanhedrin court before his death at the end of the chapter, about how their Israelite and Jewish fathers from generation to generation had been the enemy of God's chosen. Joseph's brothers hated him. Israel opposed Moses in the wilderness. And the first century Jews rejected and killed Jesus, who was dead and has come to life. Blasphemers have been around for thousands of years. And God's people must endure their evil advances and hold to the Lord of the faithful. Smyrna's saints had experienced the tribulation and became filthy rich, spiritually speaking, and Jesus knew it every step of the way, knowing they held to Jesus with conviction when the enemy was attacking. Listen to Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, and consider this question. Will God judge the difference between those who are Jews in name only and those who are truly faithfully His? Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. God knows the heart, and he knows when the Spirit of God is within that heart. God knew all the people who populated the city of Smyrna. He searched their hearts. The blasphemers were hollow and empty in heart. The saints were holy and spirit-led in heart. They kept grinding day after day while their enemies called them poor wretches. And Jesus saw the rich saints who stood with him through the outside pressures. God would praise these faithful saints while the evil, heartless Jews would try to extinguish them. So even today, when the world looks down on us as we strive to contend for the faith, our praise will come from God, not men. Men are blind. The Lord sees it all, and He will encourage while we face the enemy. Now look back at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. This is one neat verse. Listen closely. You are about to suffer. If that is all they heard, then fear has got them by the throat, and they are grasping for air. They are gasping for it. But Jesus says, do not fear. Knowing to extinguish fear must be the focus, and we will all stand well in choosing faith in suffering. The accuser, the devil, is about to cast you into prison on false or worldly motivated hatred. Ever been accused falsely? And you look guilty from the outside for those who didn't really know? While you served your time in the shame of the unknowing, who only were aware of what the media reported or the word of mouth through the gossip spread, then you might know the taste of their pain. Notice what Jesus says the purpose of this falsely accused imprisonment is to achieve, so that you will be tested. We need testing. We need to bend beyond what we alone can bear. We need to be put under the fire. We need the false accusers to gossip about why we should be suffering, because the Lord has the purpose. He will refine us through the testing. Jesus controls when it starts, and Jesus controls when it ends. He is the first and the last. He knows what is beneficial to our faith. He's been through it. Smyrna needed it, and we need it too. Do not fear what you will suffer. Instead, choose. It is a choice. Choose to be faithful until death. Jesus even told them how long it would last. 10 days. How does 10 days sound to you for suffering and being tested? 10 days can be long. 10 days can be considered short. In Revelation, many of the time frames are in terms of years. Compared to years, 10 days is enough to get the job done to refine faith. 11 days is not needed. 9 is not enough to learn the lessons for faith. Who stands in control of the timing and sequence? That's right. You guessed it. It's the Lord who knows the hearts being led by His Spirit. So when you think the timing of things is not to your liking, stop looking at fear and self and choose to trust the one in control of the first and the last. His timing is faithful. Do not let fear grip you. Next, Jesus says, be faithful until death. Don't take this to casually mean do not forget to finish the race and cross the finish line. This is not solely the picture of be faithful until you die. This is Jesus saying, be faithful even if it costs you your life. Remember who is in control of death and life? Right, Jesus is. Do you believe it? That's the question. Could God put these saints of Smyrna in a situation where they must choose faithfulness over living another day on this earth? Yes, that is a test. And faith is refined until the end. Stephen in Acts 7 was stoned to death by the Jewish leaders, false Jews, for being faithful. Stephen had learned how to overcome from learning about Jesus overcoming. Smyrna was not going to be an exception to the rule. They were rich, remember? God wanted their faith to be even more rich, further refined, and it was not without purpose. Trials and tribulations are not without purpose. Even if God knows you are rich toward Him already, He looks to sweeten the relationship through trials. But we cannot let fear control us. It must be faith in the Lord over death and life, the Lord over the struggles beginning and end. Remember who controlled the storms on the Sea of Galilee? Who stopped them? That would be Jesus, Lord Jesus, to us the faithful. Faithful in the face of the sword, faithful when facing the gun, faithful when facing death, because there is a greater promise, the crown of life. In the years to come in Smyrna, well after the events were fulfilled from nearly all of the prophecies in John's revelation of Jesus Christ, there would be a saint by the name of Polycarp. He would live in the second century during a time of persecution of the saints. Polycarp had actually been taught about Jesus by John the Apostle, according to history. Polycarp was an elder in Smyrna during his final years. The church at Smyrna was existing well, despite the Roman overlords and Jewish hypocrites of the time. The false Jews opposed Polycarp, and it came to a head in A.D. 155. Polycarp was tied to a stake. He had been doused with flammable fluids. While the liquids dripped off his body, with the executioner standing nearby with a torch in his hand, Polycarp was given one final choice and told, "Swear and I will release thee. Reproach Christ." Polycarp answered, 86 years have I served him, and he never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my King, who hath saved me?" And he was set aflame. Polycarp chose wisely. He chose faith until death. And here is the promise, the crown of life. Polycarp was rich, not controlled by fear, nor the smell of fire's death, but a faith unquenchable, refined until being inaugurated in true life with the crown perfectly fitting. God was faithful to Polycarp and still is toward us now too. Do not fear, victory is ours in death and in life too. Have sick loved ones? Take this message to heart. The crown of life awaits the faithful. We only see its shadow for now. Jesus will coronate the faithful. How awesome to think of Jesus to place the crown of life on the head of those who live faithfully to Him, even in death. How unworthy we may feel, but Jesus makes us worthy by His blood. Victory in death. Who can hold us back from trusting Jesus? No one. But our own choice of letting fear seize our minds and hearts, and we get to choose. Now look at verse 11. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death." So how are your ears, Smyrna saints? How are our ears? Do we hear the message? Jesus controls the trails of our lives. He controls the sequence from first to last. Jesus has overpowered death too. Faithful death is infinitely better than letting fear choke the life right out of us. Others may see you as poor, but by the faith found in the Lord through trials and temptations, you are rich. Spiritual affluence is ours through testing and choosing faithful reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be false accusers, poor folks the devil uses. Pity them. Maybe they'll have a change of heart like Saul converted to Paul. Prison for 10 days isn't that bad, compared to the second death that lasts eternally. Listen to this promise. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. In Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Jesus promised Smyrna, and us too, "Be faithful even when challenged with death, and I will give you the crown of life. And the second death will not hurt you." The first death is our physical death. We will each encounter it. But the second death, to burn in the lake of fire, is only for those without the crown of life. In other words, those whose names are not written in the book of life. Is your name written in the book of life? Life is in Jesus. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing blood? If you want the answer, then consider how you respond under the tests while Jesus controls it all. Fear or faith? Death or life? Jesus, who was dead and is now alive? Your life depends on how you face the difficulties of this life, knowing the Lord reigns. Is Jesus being revealed or concealed in your life? May the Lord bless you as you endure the tests of life. When faced with death, choose faith over fear, knowing Jesus is Lord over the beginning as well as the end, the first and the last. Jesus is far greater in power than death because he lives. The accusers will gossip and slander, but we will hold to the hand that controls life and death. Be faithful even at the cost of the first death, because the crown of life given to the overcomer in Jesus conquers over the second death, the lake of fire, and it lasts longer than 10 days. Death will be swallowed up in eternal life for the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, no matter who the foes might be. We are rich. Amen.